Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
If Warren Jeffs is a prophet of God, why are we still here? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. The name Warren Jeffs might not be too familiar with those of you that live outside of the state of Utah. Even within the state of Utah, you might not be all that familiar with the name of Warren Steed Jeffs. But Warren Jeffs was the president of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, I shouldn't say was, he really still is. Yeah. In fact, he kind of runs the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints kind of like a drug cartel leader from prison, because he is currently in a Texas prison, and we'll talk about why that is later on. But Warren Jeffs is certainly a colorful character. He's a scoundrel, there's no doubt about it. I would consider him an evil man for the things that he has done in the past, especially in the name of religion. But the reason why we are focusing on Warren Jeffs is because he came out with a book. He came out with a book titled Jesus Christ, Message to All Nations. When did that come out, Eric?
Well, it came out in late 2012, where he has a series of revelations that he received in prison, starting in 2009 and ending in 2012, about a 1,000-day period that was put into a hardcover bound book, and it was distributed for free. I don't know how many copies, but to many libraries and churches and schools.
Well, I got my copy from a good friend of ours who received it from a friend of his who I believe is a police chief in some Midwestern town. Now, that seems pretty obscure, but apparently a lot of people we're getting copies of this book.
Yeah, you can order it today on Amazon.com, but you can't order a new copy. You're going to order used copies. And these people have said in their descriptions, yeah, it's a free book I got, and I'm just, you know, they're selling it for $1.20 or something like that. So it's not a book that was sold very often. I don't know. Maybe it was sold in the community of the FLDS communities, but as far as a book that's on Amazon, it's not a popular book, but it's a book that Warren Jeffs wrote a series of over 200 revelations and over 800 pages describing what would happen to the world if certain things did not take place, including his release from prison.
Sounds a little similar to another prophet of a Latter-day Saint movement, Joseph Smith. He kind of did the same thing. He was always complaining that the federal government wasn't doing enough for him and his followers. And so what we do see, folks, is a pattern here between Joseph Smith, the founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and Warren Jeffs, who is the head of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, he wasn't the founder of the FLDS Church, but he took over the control from his father, Rulon Jeffs. Rulon Jeffs is an interesting person. Warren is the son of Rulon Jeffs and his fourth wife, Marilyn Steed. Hence, Warren Jeffs' middle name is Steed, Warren Steed Jeffs. His father was the leader of the FLDS Church at his death, and it's estimated that he left behind about 20 wives, about 60 children at the time of Rulon Jeffs' death. A lot of these numbers, I'm sure, are probably, to a certain extent, guesses, good guesses, perhaps. Sometimes they don't write down a lot of these things, and it's difficult to find a lot of this information on some of these past leaders. But certainly, they come from a group that felt that the LDS Church, headquartered in Salt Lake City, had basically turned its back on the early teachings of the Mormon Church, primarily when it comes to the teaching of plural marriage. And they really do feel that they are carrying on the legacy of the early leaders, including Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, John Taylor, the third president of the church. Now, Wilford Woodruff, the fourth president, if you do a lot of study on some of these fundamentalist groups, they kind of look at Wilford Woodruff as the traitor in this whole scenario. And that would be, of course, because Wilford Woodruff, the fourth president, was the one who was responsible for signing the manifesto in 1890 when they promised the federal government that they would no longer be practicing plural marriage. And that was a condition that the federal government placed upon the people in Utah if they would want to become a state in the Union.
Yeah, with all of that, what you're saying there, let me go through the leadership of this church. This is found in Section Revelation. This is how they title the different revelations, over 200 of them. This is how Jeff's titled it. Section Revelation 97, verses 18 through 19. Here's the pedigree of the church. My servant Joseph Smith, then Brigham Young, continued my work. John Taylor thereafter. Now, next should be Wilford Woodruff. If that's the fourth president, but he's not there. Then it goes on and says, then John W. Woolley and Lauren C. Woolley after him, John Y. Barlow, Leroy S. Johnson after him, and my servant Rulon T. Jeffs. And my servant on earth continues my work, though in bondage, though accused by those who are of wicked intent in their own lives, who do not see truth of the beauty of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, who fightest against my church and kingdom, even of those of apostate influence, who have turned my gospel, church, and kingdom. So he's talking about himself. Actually, now Jesus Christ wrote all of these, or actually recited these, and all Warren Jeffs did was write down what Jesus had dictated to him.
Now, this is a pretty thick book.
It's 850-plus pages.
850-some pages. And when you go through it, my goodness, the destruction on everybody, the God of Warren Jeffs, I mean, he's mad at everybody. He's not only mad at those countries that have somewhat of a Christian background, he's mad at all the pagan countries that probably don't know much at all about the Bible or Jesus or anything like that.
And later this week, I want to talk about some of those. But this is, if you've read one of his revelations, you've read pretty much all of them. It's just the names kind of change and the different curses that will take place. But it starts off always with the section revelation, the number of it. A boldface intro, which would talk about Jesus Christ, who is son Ammon, and description of who's being addressed. The place where the revelation took place, so where which prison he was in at the time would be where it's from, whether it was Draper or Texas or wherever it was. Then it would have, thus saith the Lord, somewhere in there. And then we'll talk about repent for fill-in-the-blank sins, whatever sins those are. Then there will usually be something in there about release Warren Jeffs from prison. Talk about celestial marriage being the true doctrine of God. Then we'll have something about repent again. And if you don't, here are the consequences. And it would usually end something of this nature. Do this all quickly. Amen. That's the kind of idea. If you go through that sequence, you can find the same kind of format all the way through this book.
2006 was a big year in Warren Jeffs' life because that was when he was placed on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list.
Yep.
And he was being pursued by the FBI for a while there. And I remember hearing that they thought that he had been seen locally in the town of Lehi, which mm-hmm. is south of the Salt Lake Valley. Right. I think he was actually allegedly to have been seen at the Cabela's store.
I remember that.
Probably buying survivalist gear. I don't know. I don't think that ended up being true, but nonetheless, there were a lot of rumors going around this time. But he was finally arrested, folks, in August of 2006 in Nevada, right off of Highway 15. And his arrest is kind of interesting because they arrested him driving a Cadillac Escalade, a red one.
Yeah.
Now, why would that even be significant? Didn't Warren Jeffs, he had all these weird little rules on clothing and colors and things like that, and red was off limits. And yet, he's in a red Escalade when he's arrested, and he has this huge stash of cash on him, like $54,000. He had a police scanner, he had GPS, he had all this stuff.
Four laptop computers.
Yeah, he was dressed very casually. I guess he was wearing cargo short pants, and his wife was also very casually dressed, which in the FLDS context, that is a no-no.
Right.
If you've ever looked at pictures of the FLDS people, it's like you're looking at 19th century pioneers, and they're known for wearing these long dresses with a very high collar, long sleeves, and a particular hairstyle. If you remember the raids at El Dorado, Texas, and they were showing the various women that were standing there along this one balcony, I remember, they almost look like cookie cutters of each other. You know, it's like they were photoshopped, like clones, but they all wear very similar clothing, very modest clothing, out-of-date clothing, and the women would have, some of them would have this wave in the front of their hair, and either the hair would be put up in a bun or just long. But this was kind of like a trademark of the FLDS. They were known for looking very plain, very modest. And yet, Warren Jess, when he's arrested, he's not looking like that at all. Mm-hmm. Which is, isn't it interesting with a lot of these leaders? And I find it fascinating, too, that Mormons even would call Warren Jeffs a cult leader. But with a lot of these cult leaders, they tend to not follow a lot of the precepts that they tell their people to follow. And I guess you could find somewhat of that same pattern with Joseph Smith, too. I mean, he also took liberties as a leader of the church to do things that I don't think he would probably want some of his followers to do. But that's on a whole nother aside. The point is, folks, is we want to look at the teachings that Warren Jeffs puts in this book, Jesus Christ's Message to All Nations. Now, you were telling me, Eric, when you were reading a lot of these, that it sounded very similar to what we would probably see in the Doctrine and Covenants.
Yeah, it's very much written in the same kind of style where Joseph Smith receives word from God. Here it's Jesus Christ who's telling him exactly what to say, and exact names are thrown in, and this is the situation. If this doesn't happen, I was reminded very much of Doctrine and Covenants.
But the reason I asked the question at the beginning of the show, if Warren Jess was a true prophet of God, why are we here? Because he predicted that 2013 would not even come.
Right. At the end of 2012, the word got out that that's what he was saying. Now, he's still teaching his folks from prison through the telephone, and they even closed the grocery store in town. The only grocery store in Hilldale was closed, because why would you need a grocery store if the end of the world is going to happen before 2013 appears?
So in tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to take up some of the things that Warren Jeffs talks about in this particular book, so we hope that you'll be with us tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Have you considered visiting the Holy Land? Well, in February 2015, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are hosting a trip to Israel with the option to visit the seven churches of Revelation in Turkey. During our 11-day trip to Israel, former Utah pastor Joel Kramer will take us on a day to see important biblical sites where very few people go. We'll also have a chance to swim in the Dead Sea, get baptized in the Jordan River, and hike through Hezekiah's Tunnel. To find out more, visit mrm.org and click on the Israel icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Again, that's mrm.org.